try.
And welcome to our podcast, Geeks Are Wired. We talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things, and make weird noises at each other. Because I hit record early. Ha! Speaking of, hi Alex.
You know you can edit that out, right?
Too late. We're doing it live.
Don't we always do it live?
We record it live and we send everybody the recording.
That's right.
Well, unless there's cussing.
We actually just, every time you play a podcast, we're just doing it live for them.
Yes. Yeah.
Should set up a live call-in, see if we can like coax people to call in at all. I still want to get one person to call in.
All right, somebody should call in for Mike. Mike, what is our call-in number? How about it's 801-896-4335.
It's a real number, guys. 801-896-4335.
Look at that. So
call
simple.
In. Give me some crap for whatever I'm saying.
Or just talk to him. Say, call in, say, hi, Mike.
Tell me what a sexy voice I have. Whatever, you know.
Mike, I'll back you up. I'll just trash all the technology I know nothing about.
That
just
works.
To make people mad.
Or you can, you know, there's always calling for Joe.
Yeah. Well, I'll just back up Mike, because he's got to lead the discussions on the stuff, and I'll just be like, yeah, it is better than that other thing you guys are talking about.
Or you can always call in and talk to Anna.
Yeah, you can talk to me. Ask me some questions, or you can drop us a line at our website, or our web address, I should say.
Email?
Yeah, email.
The web email stuff and things.
So, thegeeksarewired@gmail.com. Just send us a line.
There you go.
Yeah. If you're a lonely middle-aged woman who liked 50 Shades, that movie sucked. I walked out, so if you're upset about that, you can call and talk to me.
Were you the only man in there?
There's other men. I was the only man that walked out, so I'd say I had the most dignity.
I haven't watched either of those.
What?
You haven't watched either of them, Anna?
Yeah, I haven't watched, like, just the regular 50 Shades. Or
I watched the first one. The first one was watchable garbage. I sat through it, but the second one, I wanted to die. Like, I thought Assassin's Creed.
I can't believe you went
and
saw both of
them. My cousin forced me to go. I made her a bet that I could sit through all of them, and then I told her that I give up. Like, I won't even try the third
You're
one.
You're a liar.
If you sit through one, why not watch two?
I know. Well, I thought I was going to be able to do it because I always brag that I watch all the movies. And she's like, will you watch those? And I was like, yeah. And then I said, sorry, you win. I'm not going to the third one.
I went
one.
To Lego Batman for Valentine's Day rather than, like, watching 50 Shades or, like, the other movie that we were wanting to watch. La La Land was actually not in the theaters at the time.
Yay! Oh, yeah.
Batman, Lego Batman movie was definitely the best love story that came out that weekend.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
I would say anything is better than not anything. Most things are better than La La Land. There's some really bad movies out there. But I do hear they're going to the Oscars and they might win two of them.
I still want to watch it.
They'll win.
I just haven't had
a
chance.
I shake my fist in fury.
I think they're going to sweep it pretty well.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
It'll either be that or Moonlight.
It's just more proof that the Oscars don't actually mean anything.
I actually want to go watch that one.
Which one?
La La Land.
Yeah, La La Land's
Me
good.
Too. I would go watch it with you.
There we go. See, there's two of us who haven't watched it that still want to watch it.
Yeah, we
go,
still
go for St. Patty's weekend. I mean, you missed Valentine's Day, but you could go for that.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
it's on theaters, you said.
Yeah, it's on theaters right now, but maybe it'll go to the real theater or something like that.
Yeah, it should. It had a good run in the Carmike, though. They played it for quite a few weeks.
Yeah. It is a, what, December movie?
Yeah, I know. That's why it's pretty impressive. So.
All right.
Well, yeah. No, Bill. I thought I saw the bottom of the barrel with Assassin's Creed, but 50 Shades made me want someone to, like, drag me out of the theater into Assassin's Creed, and it would have been a relief.
What if Michael Fassbender just showed up and just, like, shanked you with, like, a wrist blade, and he's just like, shh. I know it's bad,
like,
too.
Thank you. If it was in the theater.
Fade to black.
Yeah. Bill, it is fun, though. You can tell not that many people walk out of the theater, though, because when you start, like, walking to the lobby, all the employees, like, flock together. They're like, oh, concessions, sir. Oh, where's he going? And then you just walk out the
door. Usually you walk up like, I need refills.
I know, and they're all, like, chatting with each other. And, oh, get all professional. I'm like, sorry, guys. I'm not stopping my walk.
Didn't even ask for your money back.
No.
Well,
I watched too much of it. You walk up there,
you're like, give me some licorice or a pickle. And but you do that, and then you just walk out of the theater. That's how you approach that.
Well, what is the rule?
Sorry. I don't think I've ever requested money back on a movie. Like, I've never been so mad about a movie that I'm just like, you have to give me my money back.
No.
Yeah, that kind of sucks with the theater employees. I don't think people should do that.
Well, I thought, because I don't think it takes away from the movie. Like, my only regret was I wish they had another showing of John Wick 2 that was, like, 15 minutes before 50 Shades, and I wish I would have just, like, said I was going to that movie, so I didn't give my money to it. But...
Oh.
I think I only got my money back once, and it was, like, a long time ago, because I went to go see Monkey Bone, and when that came out, like, in the middle of the show, it just, like, completely stopped working, and they had to return our money.
Because, you know, that, I've had my money returned because of stuff like that, but I've never actually gone like, I want my money back.
Yeah, I've never done that either.
I've heard of people, like, storming out of the theater, it was too cold in there, I want my money back. Like, really? Bring a coat, shut up.
Or it's a terrible movie.
Well, that's why I went with the movie, because if you sit in there, like, what's the cutoff? Because I felt like I watched too much of it, it couldn't justify it.
10 minutes.
Yeah, that seems about right.
10 minutes, you're just like, no.
So I watched at least like an hour, and then I was out.
Yeah.
But then it's too much.
It's like you eat a taco at Taco Bell, and you return the wrapper and ask for your money back.
Exactly.
You can't do that. It has to be one bite deep.
Yep.
This is about them and I Shyamalan movies. You have to get all the way to the end. Like, you have to get married to that movie before you decide if you don't like it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why M. Night Shyamalan is, like, becoming a big name in Hollywood, because they want to monetize that model where you have to marry the entire movie before you can ask for your money back in the theater and be like, no, you were in there for 80 minutes.
Yeah. You were in there for 92% of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't care if you hated the twist.
You only missed
I know, exactly.
Credits, so.
Yeah. That's what they're going to start doing. They're going to start rolling credits at minute 60 so you can't say anything.
Or even, like, the movie goes through. And it's like, wow, this seemed like a normal movie. The credits start rolling, and then they should throw the twist in the right in the middle of it all. It's like, no!
Actually, Tanya and I saw Mad World the other day, and the credits were actually the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah, back in the day, they used to be.
Yeah.
That's what they should do. Like, the after credit sequence isn't a thing Disney invented. That's what they used to do in the 1930s. The movie was the after credit sequence.
And, like, the intro cartoons,
yeah.
That was a thing. Back in the day. That's why it was Roger Rabbit.
And
the
movie
that.
Had an intermission, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Why did the pre-cartoon go? Why did that go away?
I think that TV ended up destroying a lot of it. And
yeah, it didn't have to, though. I mean, they could have kept going with it. I mean, they could have been like, here's an episode of the Powerpuff Girls, and now we're going to show you Hostel.
Oh. Maybe that's the other thing. You don't want to show that, because I remember Roger Rabbit did that. Technically,
Monty Python.
No, there's that. But I'm more modern. The cartoon company Pixar does that in front of all theirs.
Yeah, they put all those. I watched Spirited Away in theaters in Idaho Falls, and they had like a half an hour of like little shorts afterwards too. And it was
they're really keen on doing that for any Miyazaki movies. They just want to put a bunch of shorts at the front of it and then show you the rest of the movie.
No, like, it was the end of it, too. It was crazy, Alex, because we sat through it, and that's why texted my wife and was like, okay, the credits are going, and then they had a little short, and we're like, oh, that was fun, and then there's another one, and another one, and another one, and it was like 25 minutes after the end of the movie, and we're like, sorry about that. We watched another movie after the other movie was over.
What was the Tarantino one that was based on like the old style of films where it was like two TV shows, but they were like an hour long each?
Oh, was it the Grindhouse one?
Yeah. Grindhouse.
No, it was the hotel one. Four Rooms. Was that one?
No, I think he's meaning the Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Because you bought one ticket and you got two movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's Grindhouse.
Yeah, but I mean, that's that's
machete.
The way they used to do
it. Yeah, I know.
I think we should go back to where the movies are like an all day epidemic.
No.
Or epic. Why not?
I could do two movies. 4 hours in the movie theater. Tops. I had a ridiculous amount of time
I
one
don't
time.
I mean 12 hour long marathon style movies.
Hey, like, there's people who can do that stuff.
Yeah. I can't.
You know, especially when like the third or fourth movie comes out, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna watch all of these up to it."
No,
I can't.
I've tried that. I get through like the first movie, and then I might sit down to watch the second, and by the 20 minutes of the second movie, I'm doing something else.
In drive-ins, they usually have two movies.
Yeah,
though.
It's back
like
to back.
Back to back, and you can get your concessions and everything in between.
Yeah, but like, why don't they do that anymore?
I know. I wanted to go do that.
Especially with the cost of movies, this should do
go
that.
Go to the drive-in, then.
There's no drive-in here.
Idaho Falls.
Yeah, that's... Idaho Falls not here,
but
though.
But the one that was here closed down.
And then burned down.
No, I never got a chance to go to that. I don't remember what we're going
to
watch.
I used to go to that back in the day, like all the time.
When I lived in California, we went to the drive-in actually quite often.
Yeah, that's why they closed down here. Nobody went to the drive-in here.
Oh.
I did.
Okay, some people.
But, like, has anyone on this podcast not been the kid that was in the back of their parents' blazer covering themselves with a blanket so they could get through and pay admission for two adults as in their mom and dad? And they don't have to pay the price of child tickets while you ride through, and then you eat Lunchables while you watch the movie instead of going to the concession stand because, Alex, it's too expensive. We can't buy you licorice here. You have to eat the candy that we brought with.
No, my parents were smart enough to go on weekdays when it was price per car load and not price per person.
Yeah,
I don't think my parents had that sense.
Oh.
So when I was younger...
By the way, this is a test to see if my mom actually listens to this podcast, because she calls in to Geeks Are Wired. 801-896-43335. I think we're going to find out if my mom listens to this podcast or not, just from that.
She might send you just an angry message.
Yeah.
Well, when your mother's calling me anyway.
Yeah. So one of my friend's mom had a Cadillac, and you can fit a lot of kids in the trunk of a Cadillac. And so it would be her and my mom, and then, like, my older brother or somebody who, like, we couldn't fit in the trunk, and then, like, five kids stuffed in the trunk for the,
attaboy.
You know, 300 feet to get into the movie theater. And then we'd set up beach chairs in one of the parking spots, and we'd all sit there and we had candy and stuff. Yeah.
That's a nice thing about the drive-in.
You brought the candy with, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
No, there's no sneaking in food into the drive-in theater. You're like, I'm driving the car in. Guess what? There's a lot of food in this car.
Exactly.
You've got a cooler back there. You can make like a hoagie, or you've got like a wine cooler, and there's like a bunch of like Cheese Whiz, crackers. You're all set.
Yep.
I know. The good old days.
Yep.
Which gave me the name of
the
podcast.
Guys, I think it's why they started putting theaters in buildings.
Ooh, they should put theaters in buildings. You know, like Carmike, back in the day, it used to be a drive-in. And then they sold a bunch of property to the mall that is pretty much worthless now. And then they made this small indoor drive-in theater, which is not drive-in, but a sitting theater.
Wow.
Actually, I think it was because it snowed too much and they wanted to control the atmosphere.
Oh.
That might be it. I don't know. I'm just
nobody walks into the Carmike with headlights.
Some people do. You just don't, you know.
They turn their phone light on.
I know,
they
make
super
the special theater.
Triple light phone light.
Yeah. Actually, I had that phone. I think it was the Samsung. It had two LEDs for the... They were, like, super bright.
I got two LEDs on mine.
Everybody's checking their phone now.
Like, yeah, you're just going to be looking at it.
Everyone's got LED envy. They have to check their phone to see if it actually matches up to Mike's phone.
No, but they were like... I have the two same phone you do. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
But my Samsung phone, they were brighter than this even.
Oh, okay.
They were super bright. I think they were bigger too, but it was the 3D. Remember the 3D Samsung phone? When it had the two video around the back?
Yes. Back when they're like, phones should record in 3D.
Yeah.
Because it was cool.
Was that LG or Samsung?
I don't remember. I remember the phone slightly.
Yeah.
I remember thinking it was stupid.
It was the biggest gimmick thing ever, but I love gimmicks, so I was a sucker for it.
Hey, don't you know the internet's a fad?
Yeah. The internet, yeah, definitely a fad. The internet is a series of fads. I will concede that for sure.
So that's why it succeeded, is because it's constantly in this like up and down.
Yeah,
bad.
Yeah, it can
like
never go out of style.
As soon as something drops off, another part of the internet picks up.
Yeah.
I see. Oh, we have a name for the episode.
What is it?
Old school.
Back
is
in
it
my
called,
day.
We're 15 minutes deep and I'm talking about the topics.
What's that, Alex?
Is the name of this episode, we're 15 minutes deep and haven't talked about any of the topics on the set list here?
On the show notes?
Yeah, talk about drive-ins, okay?
The theaters.
Yeah, we're going to be the old men.
We should call it how to get candy into a drive-in.
We had the big purse that my mom...
Oh, the big purse.
It was like a duffel bag purse thing.
Like the 80s mom purse, where it's yeah. So big you could fit like a child in it or like a canoe, yeah. And it would just totally work.
George, you didn't even like get snuck into the drive-in, but she literally snuck you into the theater.
No, she didn't put kids
yeah, you
in
can get
there.
In a theater there.
I wanted to carry any of us, but no, like my mom would pop popcorn at home and put it in the big 1 gallon Ziploc bags.
Oh my God, she'd Jiffy pop it and throw it in a Ziploc and be like, "Let's go, guys!"
Yep.
Yeah.
Did she use the theater's butter pump?
What's that?
Did she use the theater's butter pump with her Jiffy Pop from home? Because God Almighty, be awesome. your mom's a hero if she did.
I would say that was awesome, but the theater has really, really good popcorn.
Well, now it's cheap enough that you can do it. They got a deal going on.
That's true with your buckets. But
it depends upon where you're buying the popcorn, because like the newer theaters are a lot more expensive than some of the older theaters.
Yeah, but at Carmike, they got the bucket that you can refill. Wait, you can't refill the bucket, can you?
You refill it.
Yeah, you can.
But it's so big.
Your bucket overfloweth.
Yeah, it's so big you get the bags to share. So
yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you want. I mean, you roll up to the theater and you're like, hey, I got this bucket. Why don't you just go ahead and fill it up for me?
I have not needed to refill the bucket.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think I've ever seen anybody.
I know. I hardly ever finish the bucket.
Yeah, nobody can swallow the bucket. The bucket is enormous. It's like the ultimate in popcorn.
We go to the movies as groups, or we have anyway, and I think we've shared one or two buckets between like seven or eight people, and we haven't finished it.
Yeah. Either take it home or you throw it away.
I know.
Yeah. Why would you, though? Bill.
Take it home?
I mean, you could take it home, but you're not going to throw it away. That popcorn is precious.
Yeah. It's like gold.
Bill, are they doing any special events for the Taking the Big D of Logan?
They are not yet, but we may... we're just going to talk to them about it.
Yeah.
Because Captain Bangles has a bunch of books they're thinking about working with. So we may...
Hopefully. I'm so excited for that movie. It's third time's the charm, apparently, on Wolverine movies.
I was going to say, we should see if we can get like Captain Bangle and Big D to do something for Logan. Carmike, thank you.
Like, Big D's only one of their theaters.
Well, yeah.
Carmike is the name of the company.
Yeah. We should see if we can get them to do something for the Logan movie. Like something we can give away if somebody calls in.
We're going to talk to him. I'm going to talk to him. So
I want somebody to call in, dang it. I am mad
for the
that
movie
nobody
that
called
comes
in.
Out
yeah.
Thursday. Okay.
I know.
There may be.
It's going to be magical.
Follow up later.
I might like go buy a Wolverine magazine to give away or something.
I know. Well, I think I have an old man.
Here's
Logan.
What I want. I want somebody to email and tell me what they would call in for. Like, what would drive you to call into the show?
Well, you have to first get them to email.
Yeah, I know.
So what's the email?
It's geeksarewired@gmail.com.
Okay.
That one I've got memorized.
Ooh.
Mike is way more prepared for this than any of us.
I'm mad that nobody's called or emailed the last like four shows. We tried to give away $35 in tickets and nobody wanted it. Lazy listeners.
I think they wanted it. I think they wanted it. They're just afraid to call in.
They fear you.
I know.
Fear me.
They're worried they have to talk to you, Mike.
They didn't even
seriously,
they
like
a message.
Knock it down two notches, Mike. You're scaring them. They would call if it wasn't for you.
They can call and leave a message just yelling at me. I can't even say anything to them then.
Mike, every podcast we're on together, Bill has to edit out the shakes of my hands on the table.
Yeah,
just
probably.
Being in your presence.
Yeah, it's taking an extraordinary amount of courage from Joe to talk to you, because seriously, Mike, you're just an indomitable presence.
You know, I would believe that if you said Anna, but not Joe.
So, do we want to get into the actual show notes?
No. It's going to probably involve me and Mike not fighting about something. There's definitely nothing to be politicizing between me and Mike on anything in our show notes.
What, you mean like AMD versus Intel?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good example of something we wouldn't like want to talk about because might get upset at each other. It's kind of silly.
Guess what, though? Intel sucks. Is that what reaction does that get? Who says that?
I'm all for that.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, I take it back because AMD just came out with the Ryzen or whatever they want to call it. Everybody kept calling it the Ryzen, which basically sets the new standard for the microchip for the processor. But I think Intel, I don't know if they've been working on something secretly and they're just going to come out and slam AMD, or if they are like pooping their britches now.
So for the listener at home, if you're not familiar with this story,
or your name's Joe,
my microprocessors right now are mostly dominated by Intel. For a while there was a there was actually some competition in that market between a company called AMD, Advanced Microsystems. I'm gonna say diapers. That D stands for diapers.
It was diagnostics or something like that.
It's something dumb. And Intel. They're basically the Pepsi and Coke for this industry. And they've kind of gone back and forth between who's got the best thing on the block. For a long time, it was Intel, and then AMD started taking them over, and then Intel fired back with the Core line. If your computer has a Core insignia on somewhere in a computer, odds are you've got an Intel processor. And in the last, I can't even say a few months, about the last 11 years, Intel has more or less just dominated that market. And a lot of computer gamers, power users, anybody who's concerned with the performance of their computer has been thinking, well, it's an Intel world now. And AMD came along and said, hey, guess what? We got a new thing now. The benchmark's better than the thing that Intel has. And it's also about $600 cheaper than the thing they have.
Well, and on top of that, it's running at 95 watts versus like 140. So it would work better for laptops. Your laptop would last twice as long.
You're basically comparing a light bulb to two light bulbs for something that will check your email about twice as fast.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, because it does a lot more than check your email. Well, for most people, it does a lot more than check your email. For my mom, yeah, it just checks her email twice as fast. But the big thing for her is she can check her email twice as long.
True that.
On her computer?
Yes.
Oh, it helps with the battery power?
Well, it runs about half the amount of power. Not half, it's a little less than that, but it's literally, the new AMD is 95 watts versus the Intel, I think, was 140 for equivalent power.
Something like that. Like, Intel's like highest line of the i7 core processors in like the 6000 series. They're generally running about like 100 and something watts for basically anything that's in the flagship line. And this new AMD offering is a direct competitor to that flagship line, and they got it under 100 watts.
Yeah, and they got it under $1,000. It's I think the one I saw was 700 or so. The competitor to the 6900, which is I think $1,400 US, is like 700 US for AMD.
Wait, for which one?
Because they have like, it's the 17X.
The 17X.
The 1700X versus the 6900 Intel.
So the AMD 1700 is supposed to come out $399, while the 1800 is supposed to come out $499.
No, there's a 1700, there's a 1700X.
Okay, let me say it again. The 1700 comes out for $329, the 1700X is $399, and the 1800X is $499.
Might have been, okay.
That's right there on the website.
Well, I was trying, yeah, this is when it like first came out. This was 2 days ago or yesterday. I was looking at it and I was converting it from pounds over to.
Oh, this is actually dollars.
Yeah.
Are they a British company?
No, but they. I think they launched in. No, they didn't launch in Britain.
AMD's got a weird history of like who owns it. It's like a. Like right now, like the Saudis own a majority stake in it, I think, or at least they bought like something close to majority share in AMD. So AMD is one of those amalgamums that's held by like a ton of different or like a ton of different places internationally. Intel's like mostly an American company. They've got like their main office over in Beaverton, Oregon, which is like less than like 50 miles away from me. But AMD is like I actually don't know where the corporate headquarters are. They've got like a ton of stakes from all over the planet.
Yeah. They get how do they break back into the market and everything? Because all you ever see on TV is
I'm Intel. I'm glad you asked that, Joe.
Boom, 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 boom. Is that Intel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that
that's
is
what,
definitely
like,
Intel.
Every computer commercial ever that exists in the last 10 years ends with that.
Because Intel is like Coke, and they ended up setting up contracts with Dell and all these other companies.
But I still see Pepsi commercials. That's the difference. Like, I've never heard of AMD.
But when you go to stores or go to your fast food joints, there's so many Coke machines around in all these places because they have contracted with large businesses and major events more than Pepsi has.
Well, and also AMD kind of removed themselves from the processor and they went to the graphics processor. They started coming out with graphics cards and things like that. And so they weren't in that market necessarily as strongly anymore until this came out.
Oh, is it more like the custom computer market, basically?
Well, sort of. AMD's in a weird spot in terms of like making equipment to sell to vendors to make other things for consumers. AMD makes both processors and graphics cards. They're the two big things for media consumption and for people who are just like home users or like even up to like server equipment that somebody buy for an enterprise. And they've tried to position themselves in both those places with basically the same inventory. And they've kind of been hit or miss for like finding a market for that. What they're primarily known for is making like a combination of something they'll say, hey, this is a thing that will very cheaply do your computations on your computer to do stuff like open Excel spreadsheets. Or you could also use the same piece of equipment to also play Crysis at a reasonably high resolution. That's pretty much where the market is. They're trying to find that intersection. And honestly, there isn't that huge of an intersection. It's kind of like it's such a narrow use case. You don't see a lot of overlap there. So this new thing is a really weird thing for AMD because it kind of returns to what their roots were. Well, not their roots, but what made them a competitor to Intel in about 2001. Which is the Athlon 64 line. The thing they just introduced was like the you might hear car guys talk about like the 454 or some other big block engine. The Athlon 64 was that of the early 2000s. This new processor is kind of the entry into that market space for today. It's supposed to be like their new like huge horsepower computing product that's supposed to tear down Intel because right now they kind of have a monopoly. And AMD doesn't have anything that stands up to Intel at the same price range until this announcement they had today. Or not today, this week.
Yeah, I think it was a couple days ago. The biggest thing, though, is no matter what happens, if AMD stays on top or Intel comes back and just like slams them with a new processor, the cost that they're selling it at is going to drive the price of computers way down.
Again. Has happened multiple times. AMD ends up coming out with a either equal or slightly better chip that's cheaper than Intel's, and therefore, pricing wars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not saying that they're better than all of Intel's line. They're definitely doing the comparison money-wise.
It's definitely going to work out better for the consumer, because for the last about 8 years, Intel's had just the held the market captive, and your computers haven't gotten like demonstrably. I mean, they've gotten faster, but they didn't get faster in the way they did in the early 2000s. So from AMD coming out saying, hey, we've got a thing that's really fast, we can make it cheaply, why don't you give us a bunch of money, HP? From that point to, from like that point we're at 2000, in like the early 2000s up till today, there hasn't, that really hasn't happened again since then. So we should expect computers to get a whole lot faster in the near future, just because that, it's competition in the marketplace.
Oh, is that how they'll kind of break into the market as well too? Because I don't know what the iron grip of Intel, because it still feels like it'll just force Intel to be cheaper. And so me as the ignorant consumer will be like, wow, Intels are way cheaper now, and I still have never ever heard of AMD.
That's a guaranteed outcome of this. Even if AMD's chips aren't demonstrably faster than Intel's flagship chips, you're going to see a price reduction because AMD now offers something that will actually compete with Intel's high-end chips.
I think what'll happen is until AMD or Intel strikes back, AMD will pick up quite a bit of the market. And they'll probably, because people are more worried about price anymore than speed of the computer. Unless you're a big gamer or you're doing a lot of video processing or something huge, you know, you don't really care. You just want to go and buy something at Costco or Big Best Buy or some box store.
It's kind of nuts. Like the high performance market, the same chip I've got now, it's a 4000 series Intel chip. It's a... that's about a three, almost four-year-old chip, and it's still benchmarking about the same as the 6000 series, which is current with this year. And there's no reason to upgrade. My chip is still like $200 on Amazon. It's nuts how expensive it is still, because AMD hasn't offered anything up that's equivalent to it.
Well, like my laptop is 3 years. I just hit the three-year mark December, and it hasn't. There's nothing that's like demonstrably better for a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even when Intel did come out with their newer chips, they're just kind of slightly better than what it is.
That's points of a gigahertz faster.
Oh, well, yeah. And also, it uses a little bit less power or something like that.
Yeah.
What's nice about this is a, you know, 8-core processor.
Yeah, versus a quad core.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad Bill threw a number out there too, because the last time AMD came out with a big announcement about a processor line that was supposed to revolutionize the industry was the Bulldozer. And that didn't do so well, and they went off the marketing hype of it's an 8-core processor. So if you're the consumer at home sitting by wondering why are computer nerds talking about this computer chip that's coming out, why does that matter? Oh man, it has 8 cores. Why is that a big deal? It's because it happened once before, and this could either be like the turning point where computers get a lot faster for a lot cheaper, or it could be just some more marketing hype that doesn't actually translate into any real gains in terms of keeping money in your wallet and make your computer faster.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is this is an 8-core 16-thread. I think that one was an 8-core like 12-thread or 8-thread even.
Yeah, when AMD, like, they had some really sketchy, like they used different terminology than Intel did, because Intel said, oh yeah, we're like a quad core, but you've got like, with hyper-threading, you've got 8 cores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, that's shenanigans. But AMD was saying, like, look, you can run one thread of execution per core inside this processor. And you end up with, like, 8 cores of AMD is equivalent to quad core with Intel. And it's you're comparing basically apples and oranges. But, like, an orange that's twice the size of an apple, apparently it sells for the same price. And they both happen to taste equivalently good. So it's definitely a weird time in the late 2000s, early teens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens, because Tanya needs a new computer soon, so she might get mine, and I might get a new one.
Oh, hey.
So, like, hey, honey, here's like a i5 4690K. I mean, it's really good at Counter-Strike. You can pull 144 FPS with this bad boy.
So the only thing she does is watch videos and type papers on her computer.
Yeah, that's me.
Buddy, my Pentium 3 from back in, like, 2000, from, like, 1999 can pull that off.
Didn't you end up getting a one of those mostly internet computers?
Yeah, I bought one for work. It doesn't even have
not even a netbook,
a drive in it, or I can't remember what it is. It's like a Lenovo or something, yeah, but it doesn't even have. You can't put a CD into it. But
why don't you just get one of the Google netbooks? They're like $100.
Well, this one was better. It was like 160. It has more memory because those other ones they didn't have hardly any space or anything on them.
I like how Joe pointed out the criteria for what a real computer is. You can put a CD in it.
Because yeah.
Me and Jamie argued for about 2 or 3 months about the computers we bought before I bought them, and neither one of them had an optical drive inside of them. And ever since then, I've been really disappointed with it. I feel like this isn't really a real computer. I've slowly come back to the realization that, like, oh, hey, if you get this thing so small that you can't put a CD in it, it's probably not going to work well.
What's funny is I had a computer. It was an HP. It didn't have an optical drive, but that I went and bought an external drive because every program that I have is on CD, and they refuse to let me download it because they want me to use the new cloud-based program. So, like, I have all of Adobe. I have their Master Collection.
The Creative Cloud,
all
that.
On CD, yeah. They want me to use the Creative Cloud. I have Windows Office 2012 or 2013, and they refuse to let me download it. They want me to use their new 360. I'm like...
Or 2016.
Yeah.
Either one.
But it's just really... Like, I've paid for these programs already. Why are you going to do this?
You have to upgrade. That's why.
No. It does the same thing. There's literally
I feel like every time Adobe does anything, it's always a power move with them. They're like, you need us. I mean, like, if you want to do anything, it's you gotta kind of follow the Adobe.
I will admit, the Creative Cloud has totally changed from their Master Collection stuff. So it's totally different, way more user friendly. It's not like you have to be a professional and you have to have taken you have to have a bachelor's in videography in order to run their Movie Maker program. It's, you know.
Yeah, like Creative Suite, back when that was still a product, you basically had to take out a small business loan if you wanted to edit a photo.
Yeah. Well, that's the Master Collection. When I bought it, I didn't pay that, but it was going for like $1,200. And that was like photo editing software, video editing software. Like, this is not stuff that the random person is going to buy off the shelf. This is professional level stuff. And I happened to get it as a student because I was taking photography classes and things like that. But, you know, it was, and I got the last year's model too, the version. So I got it a lot cheaper than that. But at $1,200, that's ridiculous.
And Adobe licensing is really user friendly. Like, they make it easy for you, don't they?
The new one, not the version that I have. The version I have, you have to...
The old one, it's really easy for you, isn't it? I mean, like, there's all those keys. Adobe, they're really nice about making sure that you are in compliance with their software licensing, right? I mean, that's... They make it easy for you, right?
Actually, no, they haven't given... Like, I haven't had any problem. I have all the keys printed out, and they're stored inside. But yeah, it does suck to have to type in all those keys every time I want to go and upload it into a new computer.
I like typing in keys, Mike.
But I do it once.
Good times.
I do it once every, like, 2 years or so.
Every 2 years?
Well, that's about how often I reset my computer.
Oh, okay.
I load everything to a cloud program like Google Drive, where I store it on my spare hard drive, and then I just redo everything on my computer and get rid of all the viruses and everything that I don't want. And I don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
And just start over from scratch. Yeah.
Including the viruses you upload to the cloud.
Yeah, well, no. Well, maybe. I don't know. But those usually get scanned.
Oh. So, well, you hope they do.
Yeah. And I typically run a virus checker on everything that I upload. So, you know, Windows Defender is great, right? That one works perfectly every time, right?
Well, they did buy some virus company to
get
it to work. Yeah.
It works good this time.
Yeah.
Just give it a little bit of time. Okay. Well, let's do our sponsor, and then we'll move on to the next topic.
The guys with the cheap popcorn bucket?
Yeah. Carmike, Pioneers 11. Located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue, Chubbuck, Idaho. They do have an amazing popcorn bucket, which we talked about earlier. And they currently have a deal going on with popcorn and two sodas for $20.
They brought that back?
Actually, I found out they didn't get rid of it.
Oh,
oh yeah. I
lied to me, Bill.
Yeah, that was last week.
Buddy, I don't got a car in my car. I live. I should probably come over and just get in on that soda deal.
Yeah. Especially with large drinks. Those are refillable for free.
Yeah.
That's right.
But that's a lot of popcorn and large.
I know.
So you got to pee like halfway through the movie if you actually drink the whole thing yourself.
Especially in longer movies.
Yeah.
If I had to drink two whole sodas by myself and...
Yeah, and eat all your popcorn.
And then refill those two sodas and drink them again.
If you go to the movies and you get the $20 deal and you drink both buckets of soda and the bucket of popcorn... And refill
Did you
it.
Drink the bucket of popcorn?
No, well, eat the bucket.
Yeah. Well, you put them together, Bill. I mean, you pour the soda into the bucket of popcorn and you eat it.
Yeah. Bladder Busters.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's got to be the name. Bladder Busters. you're a genius.
You might be right. Yes.
The Bladder Buster.
Well, isn't it's like a gallon and a half of soda if you drink just the two cups without refilling them.
Oh, yeah, because I don't know how many ounces or large is. It's pretty big, though.
I mean, why do you care? That's so much soda.
I know.
It's like 2 liters.
Yeah.
A liter of cola.
2 liters each, probably.
Yeah.
So, speaking of movies, have you seen the new BB-8? The voice command toy? They came out with like a live, it's a 1/8 scale or something, like it's a 1/4 scale or something, for the BB-8.
No, continue. But dude, do say more.
I know.
So the only thing that really sucks about it is the head and the body are separate, and they're just magnetically connected, so you have to charge both of them separately, but it is essentially a fully robotic BB-8 live toy that you can control with your voice. Like, you can tell it to go right and it'll go right, or tell it to go left and it'll go left, or tell it to go to the kitchen after you program that and it'll go there. Or you can actually set up, and I think it'll do its own like autonomous route, so you can like design a route for it to follow and it'll go that route.
It's actually a decent size too.
Yeah,
no, it's pretty close to the real one.
I think they said it was like 1/4 scale, or it's not very small. It's about 3
I would
3
not
foot
say
tall.
That's a 1/4 scale.
I know. That looks
it's
pretty
not good. The same size as it should be out of the movie, is what they said.
Okay,
but it was still.
Let's see. So this BB-8 stands over 16 inches tall, and the actual BB-8 stands closer to 19 inches tall.
Oh, yeah.
So you're losing
basically
3 inches.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's terrible. I really don't care. This is the BB-8 I wanted. And so the little Spiro one.
Yeah. And it actually, like the head, it looks just like the BB-8, the way it rolls and everything. It's really kind of funny. One of the videos I watched it try and stop too quickly and the head almost went underneath the body.
Can you program secrets in it and have it deliver it to your neighbors?
That's R2-D2.
No, they do it to that too. Remember?
What if BB-8 doesn't implicitly support secrets? Like, you give a secret, it starts like going over to people in Mos Eisley and just like elbows them with its non-existent elbow. It's just like, hey, you want your secret?
Remember, BB-8 knew where Luke Skywalker is. He had the secret plans.
He had the missing puzzle piece. No, or did he have the main puzzle piece and... Yeah, he had the missing puzzle piece, while R2-D2 had the rest of the puzzle.
But, Mike, your comment confirms my theory that, yes, they are the same movie. It is A New Hope.
So you said it's attached magnetically, then?
Yeah, the head just is stuck magnetically. So you have to charge both the body and the head separately. But it's really cool. It's just... to have your own BB-8, and it's actually going to mass market.
Yes. Does like, the remote make cool. it move like both parts on its own, or
so
like,
it moves as one unit. The head and the body actually, so the body will roll and the head kind of rolls along top, stay on top.
So if you detach the head or any part of it, does it just not operate, or do you know?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
I think it's still. I think you can still roll the body around.
So, yeah, if you basically picture like an autonomous beach ball, and there's like a very, very large like coffee house mug inverted and sit on top of it. That's kind of what this thing is. And you can control like the beach ball, and like the coffee mug hangs on for dear life. That's essentially the experience of driving this thing.
But I don't know if it has the price listed there. It was really expensive.
That's what I figured.
I have found this out. For first off,
I mean, why wouldn't you, Bill?
Is it at least $1,000? I feel like it's got to at least be that. That looks really expensive.
I think
okay, first
close,
off, it is not coming out until this fall. How dare you make me wait this long? Secondly, the Sphero was, what, 100?
No, this is not. This is like 800 or more, I think. I can't remember exactly, though.
You're wrong. Let's go with that.
Is it over 1,000?
You are way wronger.
Oh, it's cheaper than that?
Yes.
How much? I remember them saying it was something.
It will come with a $180 price tag.
Really?
That's not too bad.
Slightly more than the Sphero version.
I swear I remember this thing being like almost $1,000.
I know. Bill, that feels like your BB-8's going to break on you in 6 months. Like, that's too cheap. I don't trust that price. You're going to have a dead
head came off and won't go back on.
Wait, you ready? It has an AMD processor. Just deal.
That would be awesome if it did.
No, I was going to say, yeah, for that price, it feels like you'll buy it in June and have a cool prop in August that can't move anymore.
A cool
figure. I know.
I'm surprised you wait till August. I was thinking July.
Yeah, I know.
You had to glue the head back on. It fell off. But, I mean, it looks cool on the shelf. It's a good display piece.
Yeah. Yeah, that's suspiciously cheap, especially for how big it is. If it was like 6 inches tall, that would make sense.
There's not that much to it.
Does it say how heavy it is by chance on there? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's not super heavy.
It looks pretty decent size though, so I would think that it might.
See, the most complicated thing is the voice recognition. Because it's just balancing. It's using the same technology that
voice recognition is pretty extensive though. Voice recognition is pretty extensive, Bill.
Yeah, like I said, that's the most most complicated part.
Is it like a Roomba? Does it use that? Or it just moves around on its own?
I have a Bob Sweep, and this has to be better than the Bob Sweep. Stupid sweeper.
This thing, you just attach it, your vacuum to it, and tell it to do it for you.
That would be awesome. BB-8, vacuum the house.
That thing would blow my dog's minds, though. That would be why I'd buy it. They'd kill it in a day, but it would be fun to let it run around.
I don't think they could, though. Like, my dog doesn't have that big a mouth, and she's a big dog. She might be able to get the head, but the rest of it, I don't think she could.
Yeah, that's true. I heard it. They'd have to... My dogs would just push it down the stairs or something.
Yeah, I could see them doing that. Like, it gets
they'd
close
side-swipe
to the stairs,
it. Just push
it
down. Okay, where this is Gizmodo talking about it, and it's being released by Spin Master. They're saying it'll come with a $180 price tag.
No, I don't doubt the price. I doubt the quality.
I don't know. I saw a video for it, and it was just awesome to watch it like work, because it looked like it just rolled out of the movie.
Well, and it's supposed to recognize where you're standing in the room, so you say, hey, BB-8. It goes, what? And it comes towards you.
Yeah.
Like, that's really the most complicated part about this entire thing. But yet, look again at, you know, Alexa and Google and Siri. If you program, and Siri's probably one of the better options, because they built
Actually, Alexa's what I understand.
Alexa's doing better than Siri?
Alexa's doing, generations better than Siri.
But still, all these voice commands are starting to really be built into it, so which means it doesn't need to be online. So it's going to recognize. It's going to recognize its name. It's going to recognize where you're coming from. Probably has multiple speakers or microphones in it. It just rolls around. It knows.
Huh.
And plus, it comes with a Wii remote. Or something that looks like a Wii remote.
It looked like a kind of like a Xbox controller, but there's like weird like guards that kept you from going like up and down on the right stick and left and right on the left stick. Like, I don't know why that couldn't just be like a single remote that just like is 360 degrees.
I wonder if you're looking at the same.
Yeah, I think you might have found a different link.
That's the one. It's the one in the show notes.
Yeah.
The show notes.
Actually, Mike, you weren't able to open that one, were you, Bill?
I have too much protection on my computer.
Yeah, Bill's computer does not agree with CNET.
Bill's computer is too cool for the show notes, is what we're hearing here.
Exactly. Yeah.
I didn't know there. I would have found another place to reference from.
I don't trust CNET. Just like other websites.
Yeah.
They have
CNET had a TV show. That was weird.
Yes, I remember. They had a channel.
They Bill, still you have should, a YouTube channel.
You should buy it first.
TV channel. Yeah.
You should buy it first, because I don't even care about Star Wars, but I would want that if it works all the time.
I was going to say, I want one.
Because that would just be really cool to have a robot. Yeah.
It's not that kind of robot. It's definitely gimmicky, Star Wars stuff.
I almost got the Sphero, and then I realized the size, and that's what they were talking about with this, is that the size is very more what we wanted.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought, because I remember they had the tiny one, and I thought that thing was way more expensive than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so Spin Master is the company that is producing this.
So, yeah, you get it first, Bill, and if it's lasting longer than 2 months, because I know you'll have it just follow you around everywhere.
I'm going to make it go down the stairs and back up the stairs, just like in the movies.
It doesn't go. Does it go upstairs in the movies?
Yeah, it does. Well, okay, it goes down the stairs, and then it happens to be at the top of the stairs.
It magically appears at the top.
You should go run it through the desert, too, see if it can stand sand like the real BB-8. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't imagine that would be good for it.
And quickly go get me another one. Because I know. when you see it join the collection, it'll be one of two reasons. One, I'm really tired of it. Or two, that's all it does now. Or I forgot to charge it.
I wonder if they'll be able to recognize each other.
Multiple BB-8s?
That would be awesome if they could recognize and talk to each other.
I can see that.
Your play dates, where they all just wander around.
Was it?
There's some talking.
What are the...
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it, though.
Okay, so there's the egg thing that you hatch now. I forgot what it's called.
The Hatchimals.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
They can talk to each other.
The Furbies. That's what you're talking about.
Oh, the Furbies, yeah.
You don't have a Furby, do you? Yeah.
I wish you had a Furby. I have a McDonald's Furby, which means it doesn't do anything.
I thought it was so stupid when the government's like, we're banning Furbies because they learn too much and... They're going to give away secrets.
No, they didn't learn.
Oh, I know.
They repeat it.
But the government banned them because they thought they would learn government secrets and stuff.
Well, if you talk around it, it's a parrot. It repeats what you say back to people.
No, it actually had a list of words that it would reveal some at a time. It didn't ever actually learn anything.
Well, the fact that it could repeat something back.
Yeah. It scared the government, which I thought was hilarious.
Honestly, why do you have that at work anyways? So I'm thinking, I got better things to do than have this thing.
Maybe they had their kids there.
Yeah, they're worried about the CIA director's son playing with Furby.
There you go.
Yeah. He's just like, North Korea's coming. Yeah.
Anna, did you ever have a Furby?
I didn't have a Furby, but my little sister did.
Did she?
Yeah, she did.
The one with the creepy eyes or the one with like the plastic eyes?
It had the creepy eyes, the ones that were animatronic and moved.
What, the Hatchimal thing?
Spin Masters makes the Hatchimals, which means, and like I said, these talk to each other. Therefore, BB-8s will.
Maybe.
Oh, I don't doubt it. No.
I don't know.
These actually, the Hatchimals, they, after you hatch them, they can have entire conversations with each other.
Well, they're not you can't understand them. They're not English, but yeah.
Yeah.
They sit and, make noises at each other.
I'm sorry, can you speak droid?
Maybe.
Then they can have an entire conversation.
I guarantee you there is somebody out there in the world that learned R2-D2 and maybe BBA. I don't know if it uses the same language, but...
Do they also do the Furbies, with this company, or is it a different company?
I think that's a different company.
They made a... the one with the big eyes. I forgot its name. The robot there.
Yeah, as soon as I click away from it. Of course.
Yeah,
Astro Boy?
No. That's not the same one. I thought it was the little dude who cleans up on Earth while all the fat people float around in their floaty chairs.
Oh, you're talking about Wally?
Yeah, Wally.
Oh, yeah, Wally.
that's not Wally.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, that's what they need to make is a Wally that follows you around. I'd buy that.
How about Mechanoid?
Yeah, there you go.
They should make a Wally that just gets all of your junk that you drop and makes it into a big pyramid behind you. I guess this. I guess it's not even really a toy. That's just Wall-E. Like they just need to actually make Wall-E.
That looks like a Kinex toy. We're looking at the Mechanoid 2.0 by Spin Master.
I actually, because of this, this thing is huge.
I know.
I actually trust their BB-8.
It's about 2 foot tall. It looks like.
You trust their BB-8?
Yeah. Like if they're 20, that means
yeah,
they're
2 foot tall.
They are making toys that are large and. Yeah. Actually complicated.
This looks like something that you'd make out of the old, like, the steel Kinex that you had to, like, put real screws and stuff at it.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Like an Erector Set kind of deal?
Yeah, yeah. Like an Erector Set.
They'll just wait till BB-8 runs an old person down the stairs. They just He goes, "What's that?" And he gets alert and chases them. And they go, "Ah!"
Well, I'm old, but I'm not that old, which means it can be them and their old person. I'm still keeping
No, I want that news story. I'm sorry for the old person. I don't wish you death. You'll probably break a hip, but I want to read that story. Some grandchild's BB-8.
Actually, it'd be one of those nanny bots to do it before BB-8 ever would. Have you seen those things? They are creepy.
Hasbro made Furby. There you go.
Oh, okay. The new eyes, the LCD eyes or whatever they have, and the new ones. It's the same one that they came out with in the Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh, yeah?
The new Teddy Ruxpin. They're relaunching Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh. Do tell more. Come on, you're into this story.
Oh, okay. Well, the new Teddy Ruxpin, it's like, it's all digital now. It looks almost exactly the same with much creepier eyes because they follow you around the room. It's pretty funny, but they've got, I think they've only got like 20 stories for it right now, 20 books.
But it'll be all visual, I bet you could probably.
Oh yeah. Well, they're coming out with new books. They're charging like $5 a piece for them. So they're definitely going to make more money on the books.
That's scary if it follows you.
The eyes follow you around the room.
All the movement.
Yeah. You have to see the picture of it. It looks like it's a, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, the eyes are super bright, but the teddy bear looks like it's still out of the 80s.
Still kind of.
Yeah, the
cool.
Eyes are really upsetting in the new Teddy Ruxpin. Like, you look at that, and it's just. Usually when we look at a toy's eyes, there isn't, like, that weird uncanny valley thing associated with it. Like, it just looks like a toy that maybe has animatronic eyes. So it looks like, oh, it's a toy that's come to life. But when they add in, like, the LCD screens into the eyes, like, they sort of follow you just because they're flat. So you start getting, like, a weird, uncanny valley creepy.
No, these eyes actually will look around and follow you, like, follow your face.
Yeah, oh, that's upsetting.
Yeah. And then the paws, like, you squeeze on their paws, on his paws, and one is fast forward, one's rewind, things like that. And he'll sit and read a book. He'll store, like, up to 3 books. So you don't have
really
to.
That's really sad, actually.
That he can only store 3 books?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But...
Well, I'm sure there's a lot more to it than just like a PDF file.
There is. And Audacity, or no, Audible does a very good job at storing more than that in like small amounts of space.
Yeah.
And they have complicated and ridiculously huge books.
But you're still just talking about a PDF file with links and stuff in it.
Audible?
Yeah, well, it's not a wave file then.
No,
or an
they're
MP3,
they're
sorry.
More yeah. Well, they're but yeah, but so with this is not you literally you put a speaker in his face or in his mouth and it goes up and down or does whatever else, but it still shouldn't be.
So he can read any book.
Well, that's why I think it should be.
Yeah,
like, it should not be this complicated.
I don't know. That's what they said when I read it. I just thought it was cool that Teddy Ruxpin was coming back, but creepy at the same time.
He's just like,
he's giving you the death look.
Mike, yeah. Don't go to work. I'll miss you.
You ever throw like some Rush or Metallica into Teddy Ruxpin and just let it go?
No,
that was a good time.
Have
it's,
you ever
it's like its mouth just like moves with it completely out of sync with whatever beat the song might have, and it just kind of just rhythmically. I guess not even rhythmically, but just kind of opens and closes slowly, and the eyes kind of blink about once every second.
Well, have you ever seen the show What's Inside on YouTube?
Uh-uh.
These guys, they made a show. It's actually a kid and a dad. And I just whacked one of the
dead microphones.
Yeah. The kid and a dad made a show called What's Inside, and they literally take stuff apart like really badly with hatchets and stuff, the tools that should not be used. But one of the ones they did was the old Teddy Ruxpin. And I swear the kid ran for like 20 minutes of the whole show. He just would not come near this stupid thing. It was funny. He thought that the old one was so freaking scary.
Did it just look like a robot that's supposed to be human but like got skinned?
When they skinned it, it looked even more creepy was the funny part. Because it was just the mouth was still the same and the eyes were still the same, but now it just had like this weird plastic skeleton thing.
I'll see if I can dig up a link for the show notes, but there is a weird YouTube video I saw where there's a Japanese circuit bender, and her whole channel is she dresses up in a maid costume, and she just like skins toys, and she took a Furby and like in like three cuts the X-Acto knife, she just skins a Furby and it's still functional. Oh. It's bizarre to watch because you see this person in, dress up as a Japanese maid as you'd see in a maid cafe if you're in privy to do Google image searches for that sort of thing. And like she just like moves an X-Acto knife around and in a couple seconds rips a skin off of a Furby and you guess see like its horrifying mechanical insides just moving.
Yeah, that's kind of what Teddy Ruxpin, the original one, looks like.
And see, that's why I'm like, it can't be that complicated because the tape still was, you know.
But the tape one was, it was literally single motor driven for everything.
Yeah.
This probably has a motor for the mouth and you have the eyes that are separate. And then it has all the sensors in it. It's supposed to have like a hug sensor.
Aww.
And like, yeah, I don't know. It has some weird pressure sensors and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, I'll bring it over to play with your BB-8.
Okay.
You'll go, hey, BB-8, you should fall down those stairs. And then you'll come home and your BB-8's broken and then Teddy Ruxpin's just staring at you.
Telling a story.
Yeah.
You know what would be awesome is if somebody wrote a program for Teddy Ruxpin that you could like talk into your phone and he would say whatever you're saying.
That's not very hard, actually.
I know.
That technology, imagine, too, like, that'd be awesome.
Linked, if you were linked wirelessly somewhere in your house and you're screwing with like your little brother or sister who has this thing.
That'd be the best.
You're just like, come here.
Once upon a time, yeah, there was a bad boy.
Yeah.
His name was Michael.
Yeah. Teddy told me to do out. It.
Yeah. Brings new meaning to, my dolly told me to.
I know, he's like, I swear, he told me.
Okay, we probably should wrap things up. Well, we're over an hour.
Okay.
So we'll do famous last words. Alex, go.
Skinning a Furby with scissors is actually easier than X-Acto knife.
Yeah, when I go to bed, I hope to see Teddy Ruxpin's eyes staring at me.
Call the show. It's 801-896-4335. Yell at me for something. Come on. There's got to be something.
What else can they do?
Oh, you can email at geeksarewired@gmail.com.
I'd like Teddy Ruxpin to tell me a story.
I will let Creepy Ruxpin tell me a story. Or BB-8.